Hey everyone, just a quick pregame note on the Point Forward podcast this week. We recorded our conversation on Monday. You're hearing it on Tuesday, and as is sometimes the case, some of the facts have changed in the intervening hours, namely the injury report for Tuesday night's game between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. We already knew Jaylen Brown was out for Boston. We now know that Boston's basically playing with one hand tied behind their back. Marcus Smart is not going to be playing. Jason Tatum is doubtful with a non-COVID illness. Grant Williams and Rob Williams both questionable with injuries, so the Bucks are now going to be significantly in the driver's seat, assuming all their players play. We also know Jay Crowder will not be available in this game, nor will he be available Thursday night in Chicago against the Bulls. The Bucks, Mike Budenholzer saying Monday afternoon, they were electing to hold him out until after the All-Star break so he can be fully acclimated. So we do bring up Jay Crowder. We do bring up this big Boston game. Just know that we didn't have all the facts at our fingertips at that point in time. Milwaukee should certainly be in position to win an 11th straight game on Tuesday night. But plenty of the podcast this week is still timely, and we'll give that to you right now.
Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's a first here on the Point Forward podcast. We've got a full room. We've got three people in the same place at the same time. We've literally never done that before. But here we are in the downtown Milwaukee Journal Sentinel offices. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the show. We've got Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is to my right. We've got Lori Nickel, columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, to my left. And the Milwaukee Bucks are a red-hot basketball team. They've won 10 in a row. We have a lot, actually, to discuss. Even though we had an emergency pod last week when the Bucks traded for Jay Crowder, we're going to talk about him a little bit. We're going to talk about their winning ways. We're still recovering from the Super Bowl. We're singing some Rihanna songs in here. But we have to start with kind of a bigger, much bigger story, and that is news that broke late last week that the Bucks ownership situation might be headed for some resolution. We'd spoken about it. Jim has written about it at jsonline.com about Mark Lazary being willing to sell his stake of the Milwaukee Bucks, 25% of the Milwaukee Bucks, and that there had been some conversations, and now we know the identity of some of the people who are having these conversations. That would be the Haslams, married couple who they currently own the Cleveland Browns and the Columbus Crew, so they have an Ohio footprint, but now interested potentially in the NBA. There's a lot that's been written about the Haslams. There's definitely some controversy there, but interesting names that we had not heard before. So, Jim, I'm going to start with you and just about the reporting you've done around this. Again, you can find all that at jsonline.com. It sounds like we're pretty close to the finish line, and I don't know if that's true. I don't know what the sense you are getting on it. So just give me a breakdown of what you're hearing and what you've sort of what your sense is where this stands.
Yeah. So to rewind it back to how this all began was when Matt Ishbia talked to Mark Lazary, however many months ago, late last year, about buying Lazary's stake in the Bucks. Matt Ishbia, of course, decided to spend $4 billion of value. I don't think that was the cash price for him to buy controlling interest of the Phoenix Suns, which his approval was probably the deadline deal of the year to push the button on. I think the Suns are going to have a $40 million tax bill just because of the Durant trade. So, but Ishbia decided he wanted on a team where he could have that power, have that say. That wouldn't happen with the Bucks. So what my understanding was when we reported back on that was Mark Lazary would remain interested in selling his share if the number was right. And so apparently the number's right for Jimmy and D. Haslam. Own the Cleveland Browns. It's interesting. I think when they bought the Browns in 2012, they might be paying the same share for 25% of the Bucks now.
Oh, jeez.
Might be like close to $1 billion.
Appreciation, baby. It's everywhere.
Yeah. So it did seem that talks have progressed. I don't know the timing of all this stuff and when certain markers have to be hit in vetting and, you know, all that behind-the-scenes stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like Mark Lazary kind of opened the door, and there are billionaires who are gladly walking through it.
All right, Lori, I'm curious on your take on this. Jimmy, did you want to add something to that?
No,
you have thoughts.
I have questions.
Questions. So, no. And we're just raising questions here. That's what a podcast is for. Jimmy and Dee Haslam come with a little bit of baggage. It isn't just that the Cleveland Browns have really struggled to get a foothold. I mean, they did finally make the playoffs a couple years ago, but that franchise has had a hard time, to put it nicely. And then more recently, of course, they were supportive of Deshaun Watson to the effect of giving him a massive contract extension, even though he is embroiled in you know, with a lot of alleged allegations of sexual assault. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Like, it's pretty bad. And he got a lengthy suspension from the NFL, but they doubled down and they extended him, and they have said he's the quarterback, even though, you know, he's got some really, really checkered stuff in his past at this point. And there's other things too, you know, other things that aren't even on the field stuff. There's a whole scandal with the Flying J business that they run. So I don't even know if I'm smart enough to go into all of the details and what's up with that. But what are some of the questions? Because those names definitely raise some red flags, I think, for Bucks fans.
Right. Yeah. I don't have any answers for any of that stuff. I'm reading Jim's stuff just as much as you are. So
So real quick, I mean, the Flying J, that's Jimmy Haslam's father, founded that company. It's a truck stop chain. This is 2023, so 15, 16 years ago, defrauded truckers out of tens of millions of dollars. Many, many people went to jail except for Jimmy Haslam. He was not – he was deposed but was not put on any charges. So pretty much he was the top, and then, like, everybody else underneath him went to jail. they had to write a $90 million check to the federal government to avoid further prosecution as a fine. He briefly stepped away from running the company, came back. I think he's still running it. The Browns obviously have been, I mean, it's an unmitigated disaster in terms of.
You are not as nice as I was.
No, I mean, and look, I covered the AFC North for 3.5 years, lived in Ohio. Like, it starts with ownership. At that level, when it's, you know, and the coaches and the GMs, I mean, it's just, it's been bad. Yeah. And I guess with Watson, they pledged $1 million to sexual assault awareness. I don't know what that means. So
$1 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw this going around a little bit because you mentioned the $230 million. To Deshaun Watson, it's a guaranteed deal. It sort of messed up the math of football, right? So football fan listening to this is like, they spend. Technically, yes. The Haslams do spend money on their football team. I think what I'll have to remind people if this goes through is spending money on your football team is not the same as your basketball team. It's way different. Pretty much the revenue sharing in football from their TV rights or media rights like pays for the salary cap. There's just so much money coming in from the NFL. It's not this. Now, look, the Haslams are probably buying in, or anyone would want to buy in now, because it's a bet on this next NBA media rights deal. Adam Silver, I think, is looking for $75 billion with a B, which is a big number. Still not anywhere close to NFL Bs. you want to do a Rihanna drop in here, right? So, like, it's just not the same. So when the Bucks look, this is all about Giannis. This is all about the championship window. They're going to go into the repeater tax, which means the tax is more penal, which means there's more money, and that's coming out of their pocket. That's not Deer District did this, or ticket sales did this. It's like, no, here's the tax. So Wes Edens, Mark Lazary, Jamie Dimon, minority owners, it's time to write a check. So that is a true thing when the owners in the NBA say that it's like that. It's truly a tax in that way. Now, look, if you have other businesses and making money, you can buttress that, but it's not like stadium revenue that they're paid. So it's. I'm not saying that a new owner wouldn't come in aware of that or be willing to spend it. It's just a little – I caution fans to say it's apples to apples in the money spent.
And there is also the aspect that is obvious. This is for a 25% stake of the Bucks. They're not going to be controlling, you know, owners the way they are at the Browns. So this is a totally different animal. And I don't know if that means, you know, if this was just there just aren't that many people that Wes Edens would be comfortable working with. Obviously, it's going to come down to someone that he wants to, you know, that he would approve, that he wants, you know, as a partner. And it's got to be somebody who's got billions of dollars, you know, and can afford to do that. So I don't know if the Haslams buy into this and people stop thinking, you know, don't have to think about them again, like that they're not going to be doing, they're not going to be at the forefront, they're not going to be the face of the ownership team. But I don't know. They easily could be. Lori, you said you had a lot of questions.
Well, one question I had for you, Jim, are they in a bidding war between that one share, or would they split the share, meaning Matt Ishbia and the Haslams?
Oh, no. So Ishbia ended up bowing out to totally buy the Phoenix Suns. So he's out. I believe it would just be for the 25% that Lazary has. And to JR's point, the governor, this is all interesting because the Bucks are the only team in the league that has a rotating governorship between Edens and Lazary. So I don't know if like this would be part of the deal or if that was their deal back in 2014-15. And someone who comes in, you don't get that. And Wes Edens will be the governor. And then the Haslams are just a voting trio because that's how it's set up with Jamie Dimon, and he's the third.
Yeah.
So there's always a three-person vote, if you will.
It is so odd that we don't talk about Jamie Dimon. We don't talk about Michael Fascitelli. Like, we just talk about Lazary and Edens because they were the guys in the beginning. I get it. But it's so – like, they're all working together here. They're all major role players here. So
yeah, Jamie
funny.
Dinan's the – The one who votes. Like, when there's – I'm sure Mike Vascelli has some say.
Sure.
But my understanding of when there are big decisions, it's a three-person vote.
Okay.
And that's two – so there's a majority.
Go ahead, Lori.
Can I ask one question, too?
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm at almost all the home Bucks games here in Milwaukee at Pfizer Forum, and I feel like after the game you see – at least one of the owners represented there, you know, right outside the locker room and all that stuff where we have access, if not all three. Do you see the owners on the road at all? And how Herb Cole was so protective of this franchise. Like, he had really specific rules, you know, of who he would sell it to, the vision that he had, the future and all that. And we did that whole story about bringing the Bucks here in the first place and how, you know, Vince Lombardi was against it and all that stuff. So my question is do you think this ownership group cares about this franchise staying in Milwaukee, being run a certain way, having a reputation of taking care of its players with good facilities, good staff and all that? Do we think they're invested and on board where they would vet other ownership groups, or is it just money? Like, whoever wants to buy out that share, it's a business deal. And
yeah, my guess is the days of caring about the city are over.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree.
Yeah, this is strictly, I think the Bucks are now a property.
God, that kind of makes me sick.
But they're not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, they have a lease with Pfizer for them. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, so I think it's two different things. Yeah, like I think a standard has been set with this group. The arena's the arena. The practice facility, I mean, that's up to ownership or whatever sponsor they get to maybe upgrade, renovate, etc. You know, they are on the road. I've seen Wes Edens and Mark Lazary on the road. Jamie Dimon is less visible. He might be there, but he's just not, I guess, as popular as, you know, like he's just sort of not the guy, right?
Quote,
yeah.
Right.
So the Haslams, I don't recall like if they went to every Browns game, and NFL's different. You know, there's owner suites and things. You just don't – it's not the same.
Right.
But I do think it's – I mean, Mark Lazary, you know, back when we started reporting on this, I mean, he told the Wharton Business School he thought they would sell the Bucks within 2 years.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, yeah, we'll buy it for $550. We'll flip it for $750. It'll be great. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. I like basketball. And then they won, and then media – and then all of a sudden it's – you know, now it's a – you know, he's going to get $1 billion for – so I think now it's about – the appreciating asset.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he would have gotten out sooner if they didn't let him play in the All-Star in the All-Star Celebrity Games? Because you know the man loved that opportunity. So I guess, like, I'll go back to my original question before we move on here. I mean, you know the Haslams more than maybe the average person. How concerning should this be for Bucks fans? I mean, I guess it comes down to what you have a stomach for. I think everyone can acknowledge most billionaires have something unflattering on their, I don't know what you'd call it, their CV, their resume, whatever. I guess it comes down to the degree to which you would tolerate it. But should Bucks fans be, I don't know, like, concerned here? Really just, whether because it's off-putting to have people that have some shaky recent history, or because their team hasn't done well. Like, their team, the Cleveland Browns, are not a powerhouse. I don't know.
Yeah, let's be real. I mean, this is about pro sports. So I think it's appropriate to mention the background, write about the background. But it's like, Jimmy Haslam did not go to jail. He did not. It was his company. But you're right. I mean, Wes Edens and his hedge fund had some bad history in Milwaukee with properties here when they came in. So, like, there's – you're right. I mean, you don't make billions of dollars without, you know, some skeletons in the closet mm-hmm. along the way. Now, when it comes to sports, I think it's fair. Like, okay, well, these are people who run an NFL franchise. What is the success rate? And that's fair to be like, wins and losses is pretty terrible. One winning season in a decade. Now, mm-hmm. but what you said, though, this is not a sole ownership. So what I'm guessing is look, we can look back at the start of the Edens, Lazary, and then Dinan tenure and say, wow, maybe they made mistakes in the early going, you know, trading for Jason Kidd. Maybe there were some other thing, like how were things handled with the change in GM? Like, that was messy, you know, in terms of how all that happened. Now, it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think even they admitted in the championship run that they made mistakes early on, you know, as new owners. I mean, and we mentioned Matt Ishbia. Look, he's a new owner. He's like, I'm coming in. Kevin Durant. Yes. Right? Like, make a splash. Now, again, this is not that same situation. Maybe they don't have the governorship. So Wes Edens has, you know, he's got the league votes. So the Haslams will have 5 years to learn about NBA business without actually having to participate in, like, sort of voting for CBAs and et cetera, et cetera. In terms of the Bucks, at least you could say Edens and Dinan and Fair, like, that group has been doing this now for 5+ years at a pretty high level. And so not that the Haslams won't have a say, but it's not sole ownership.
Right. They're going to be boarding a bus that's been, you know, in motion for a while.
Yeah. And so really, honestly, it's all about whether the big guy stays.
Of course. Yeah.
So it that's going to be the interesting part is in basketball, like, you'll see ownership around. I feel like in basketball, though, if you're going to be around, you need to have, like, your players need to feel good about you.
Mm-hmm.
So either be totally gone and – like, no one even – like, they just know your name. Or if you're going to be around, you have to make everyone feel good about you.
It's a tight
name. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's whether he stays or goes. And it may not be anybody's fault, but that'll be part of whoever's legacy going forward.
Yeah.
Wow, Jim, the Cleveland Browns had 2 winning records since 2007 and an 0-16 season and a 1-15 season. That's, like, yeah. I mean –
ooh. My poor guy, Joe Thomas, new addition to the Hall of Fame. That's when his career starts. He's 07, never made it to the playoffs. Right. One of 5 players now in the NFL Hall of Fame first ballot picks who never saw the playoffs. Tough. Although Butkus and Sayers, who people don't remember that about them at all. They're like, right. they're two legendary names. So you don't really have to worry about that. But ugh. All right, so the Milwaukee Bucks on the floor have not lost since, like, I don't know, middle of January, like the 23rd or something. It's been a 10-game winning streak now for Milwaukee. They sweep in Los Angeles. If we're being completely honest, they caught those Los Angeles teams at the exact right time. LeBron James did not play one game after setting the scoring record. The Clippers were in quite a bit of flux, as well as the Lakers, with what had happened at the trade deadline. So you know, the Bucks maybe caught a good time in the schedule, but they certainly made the most of it. And now they go into a really big game against Boston on Tuesday night. Lori, I'd just be curious your impressions. We haven't had a lot of games since our emergency podcast. It's just the two. But Giannis playing at an extremely high level, as always. Chris Middleton did not play in one of those L.A. games, but it didn't seem to matter. He's been awesome since he's been back. Everything does kind of seem to be clicking right now, and we haven't even seen Jay Crowder out of the mix yet. So just give me your impressions about what you're seeing from the Milwaukee Bucks right now.
Right. So they have a 39-17 record. They're 23-5 at home, and then they just did really well on the road. So, after watching those games and listening to the press conferences, I wanted to ask you guys this too. Giannis nitpicks the defense. He's like, yeah, a 10-game winning streak, that's great, but I really think we need to defend better. And I looked back at, you know, the last 10 games, and it's like, I wonder if that's more of a feel thing, like, because, you know, they've kept, a couple of teams in check, or if that's just a way that he's trying to keep himself motivated and, like, focused in. Brook Lopez is playing incredible. Now he's setting records that are so obscure, like the oldest player ever to have the most blocks and the most three-pointers, and even he didn't know about that one. So that it's been fun to watch.
Not to mention, to interrupt, the Brooklyn Nets scoring record, career scoring record, is as safe as it's ever been now that they've traded Kevin Durant and Kyrie away. It's amazing.
That's true, too. Yeah, but he's not an all-star, so
no,
whatever.
Very sad.
No, it's this team is, I've like cleared my schedule from now until the end of June, so I'm just planning on covering this team.
Yeah. Jim, what do you think? I mean, we've obviously talked a lot about this team, but it seems like I guess the only concern is sort of a superstitious one. Are they peaking too early? I know that's not a thing, but you obviously would like them to be playing at their absolute best at the end of the season, and here they are toward the end of the season. It seems like they're just on one. It seems like everything's going right.
Yeah, and they're definitely not playing at their
peak
best. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're going to nitpick, and that's what it is when you're 15 games over 500, won 10 in a row. Chris Middleton isn't even starting yet.
Right.
You know, so
Portis is out.
Yeah, they're just not. I mean, they're not whole. I think at this point, I don't know if we can expect them to ever be whole. Like, it feels like they, you know, they had three quarters in Detroit with a full team.
They're aiming to be whole when the playoffs start.
Exactly. I mean, they're. Drew Holiday had an interesting quote. So a reporter asked him about, you know, about winning 10 games in a row, and he didn't profess to not know. And then she's like, you didn't really know? And he's like, no. And he's like, oh, it's that time of year where everything is repetitive. And he's like, I guess winning's gotten repetitive.
That's nice. It's a low-key troll almost.
I think there's a little bit of swag in there right now, JR. I think they're feeling themselves a little bit, which might go back to Giannis nitpicking some stuff and Bud sort of saying, well, you know, yeah, it's, we want to kind of keep it going, blah, blah, blah. And that's just what you do, you know. But, I mean, they're going to put it on Boston on Tuesday.
Yeah, you think?
They're not. I mean, first of all, Jaylen Brown's not playing, so that's a big absence. And then they have definitely – the games where they've lost, like that Charlotte game, like you knew they were going to pound the Hornets again, right? Like,
it wasn't obvious for most of that game, but
it was just one of those where like they're ready for that, you know. And I do think they want to have, and they're better than the Bulls. I do think they want to have 12 straight going into the break, you know, and then like really hit the gas because then Bobby will be back, Jay will still be on some sort of build up, but Chris, I'm sure, will get a jump then at that point. And then I feel like they are, you know. They're not going to say they want to win X games, or they're not going to say we want the one seed, because I truly think that doesn't matter to them. But I think those things are going to be byproducts of, you know, the best team in basketball coming together.
So you mentioned Jay Crowder and Chris Middleton. Middleton, of course, always a thorn in the Celtics side. If maybe that's the game where we do see him come back to the starting lineup, or if that doesn't happen. And then Jay Crowder is still a wild card in my mind. I know, I don't think, as we're recording this, you've even had a chance to chat with him, but I don't know when we can reasonably expect him to be back. The Suns will be at Pfizer Forum on February 26th. So I imagine he's going to want to, you know, be involved there. But this is a big Celtics game, which we'll talk a little bit more about. Like you said, Jaylen Brown's not going to be there. Bucks, by the way, only playing the Celtics on holidays this year. Played them on Christmas, played them on Valentine's Day, and then played them on Major League Baseball opening day, March 30th, at the end of toward the end of the season, which is, of course, a JR holiday, if nothing else. But I mean, should we see? Are we going to see Jay Crowder, you think, already? Or maybe after the All-Star break? Or maybe even later than that?
I think he's itching to play.
Yeah?
I mean, you know, and I don't know what that minutes is going to let. And John Horst said this. He said when they worked him out, he appears to be in great shape, but he said he hasn't played 5-on-5. So there's as we record this, they're practicing. They may practice again tomorrow or have some version of a practice to get him some work. The Wisconsin Herd, unfortunately, unlike Brooke Lopez last year or Chris Middleton this year, I believe the Herd are out of town until March. So, like,
oh, wow.
Not to say they can't fly back and forth, but it feels that that's not a great window for that. So it would make sense that he's, you know, they're going to see how he feels after a 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of been just thrown in. There's not enough games to be like, oh, just punt on the two you could play in and then sit out a week. It just feels like, you know, right. And it's home game. You know, it just seems like.
Well, and these two teams have separated themselves in the Eastern Conference. And right now, I mean, we could be looking at a battle for the top seed in the East. Like, I don't know if the Bucks care about that, but they would need to win the next two games to get sort of a tiebreaker. This is a meaningful game in that regard, and I don't know. I could see that being, like you said, this is going to be a meaningful game for them. Lori, what are you looking for when this Celtics game gets underway, whether it's Jay Crowder in the lineup, whether it's, you know, matching up again without Jaylen Brown? It's not like a true matchup, but I guess the Bucks don't have Portis either, so what are some of the things you're looking for?
Well, I wonder, too, you guys, I think it's a 6:30 tip tomorrow on Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they'll even have a shoot around or anything.
Yeah.
Typically they don't when it's earlier. I need to see Jay Crowder's defense. I don't care if he's taken 2.5 years off. The league needs him back to start shutting down people because these 40-point averages every night, I'm just done with it. I miss defense so much. And I can't, you know, it seems like the conservative Bucks would bring him back after All-Star break, but maybe they do give him 5 minutes here or there. I don't know. But either way, I want to see him play defense. He was the guy who matched up with Giannis in the bubble in 2020 during the playoffs. And that's what I remember from Jay Crowder playing with Miami. It's not like he did anything super special or flashy that just jumped out. It wasn't these acrobatic blocks or craziness. He's just so solid. He just doesn't give up his position. He holds his ground. And he played well against Giannis, of all people. So that's what I want to see. Even if he comes back and he's rusty and absolutely wretched on offense, just as a basketball fan, I don't care. I want to see what he can do on defense, how his backward movement is, you know, how much he can move laterally, that sort of thing. How fit is he in that regard where he can hold his own defensively? And whether or not we get to see that with the big Celtics game, I don't know. But I know we'll, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to the most. Him and, you know, with him coming in and Portis, whenever he comes back, I forgot, Jim, you know that.
It's probably after the break.
It is. Do you think it's pretty sure or this is going to be another one of these?
No.
Maybe. And then it's 2 months
later. I
mean,
he looked like he might, based on what we saw in California, like if he played Tuesday, I guess I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, he's
good,
but I think they could wait.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? It doesn't make sense in a way, but yeah, Bobby Porter should be back.
That's
sure.
Good defense. Yeah. You know, then Lopez doesn't have to hold it. You know, Lopez and Giannis have been doing a lot defensively lately. So that I'm just ready for some defense for crying out loud. Somebody. Please.
Well, Lori, you're going to be disappointed because the All-Star game is right around the corner.
Right.
And, I'm not sure that's the best showcase for defense.
You know what I mean.
Although with the Lamb ending, suddenly things get really, really tense at the end. It's kind of awesome to watch. So I don't even know if that's still the format. I assume it is, but I haven't actually paid too close of attention. The Bucks do have, again, this game against Boston on Tuesday night. Then they go to Chicago on Thursday, and that is it for the All-Star break. 8 days will go by between games at that point. They'll be back February 24th against the Miami Heat. Former Jay Crowder team, and then February 26th against the Suns, former Jay Crowder team, just like Boston is a former Jay Crowder team. hard to find teams he hasn't played for at this point. So those games will be interesting on the other side as well. But Jim, the All-Star break, I don't know what – I know you're going to Salt Lake City. I'd be curious to know what you're looking for because we've seen Giannis take over an All-Star game before. Like, you know, maybe it happens again, but that's not as interesting. Jrue Holiday obviously is a really cool story, spending 10 years in between. I think we don't have any dunk contests, three-point contest stuff going on this year. Nobody's in the rookies game or anything like that. So what are the storylines that you're interested in? What are you looking for in this one?
You don't care about the three brothers coaching the celebrity game?
I did not think about the celebrity game. And is Arike Ogunbanwale going to be there as well?
She is. She's playing for Team Giannis.
Yeah. So I'd be more interested in watching Arike play than who's coaching
Thank
the
you.
But the three brothers, yeah. That's always fun. They participated in the skills competition last year. Did not go well for them, if I recall. It was Thanasis and Alex joining Giannis there, but I all of that is interesting. I mean, it could be a good time, I presume, but what are you going to be chasing?
I think Jrue Holiday is the most interesting one because it is a decade. Like that, the NBA doesn't do that. Like usually once you get in, then you're in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think Chris Middleton was snubbed in the championship season. So like to me, he should have been in four straight. He made three or four.
Yeah.
But like in the reserves are usually, and again, it's typically young Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton's probably going to make seven All-Star games.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but like you got to get the first one, and it's usually then it just sort of builds. And for Jrue to be 10 years in between in his early 30s, you know, he kind of laughed. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm making it as an older guy. Like, I'm just it, – it's funny because all these – for 2 years, and Laurie's heard this too, opposing coaches have – oh, Jrue Holiday, he's an All-Star every year. But they never put their money where their mouth was. They never voted him in.
Right.
As coaches. So now it's assistant coaches. So maybe the assistant coaches are like, we don't want to watch Jrue Holiday in an All-Star game. So maybe that's kind of interesting to me because he's not a All-Star kind of guy.
He's not flashy.
He's not dunking. He's not. So if what I'm fascinated by is if LeBron James tries to steal Jrue Holiday. In the picking thing. No one really knows how that's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, if it's going to be, like, privately picked beforehand and then the thing is kind of staged, or no one knows if they've got to pick the starters first. And then if that's the case, being weird numbers, like, LeBron could potentially, like, would LeBron do that to Giannis?
I think he
probably should.
He probably
so,
should.
Like, what, like, that's, I guess that's interesting. I think if Giannis does play with Jrue, he would make Jrue shoot the ball like 37 times to try to get him MVP.
That would be amazing.
That would be.
Oh, man, Jrue Holiday just chucking shots in an All-Star game. Like, what is happening right now? But you bring up a good point. Just the way the voting works, like James Harden getting snubbed this year, that was one of the – it's like you just take for granted James Harden's going to be in every All-Star game. It's crazy that he wasn't. But Jrue did get a nod there before over him. Laurie, what about you? I know you'll be watching as well. Any or maybe not? Maybe
no,
not.
No, you know what? Has anybody ever skipped? Remember, you know, in the NFL, guys are like, you know what? I've done this five times. I really need the, you know, I'm not going or whatever. Nobody skips in the NBA,
no,
right?
It's still a big deal for them.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because you talk to George Hill, and he's like, you know, not so much. I mean, he would tell me. Guys,
trust me, George Hill wants to be an All-Star. Like, I think
no,
it's different.
He had a whole – every year it was like he had this house party with his friends and his family, and he got away from it all. And he was like, he was lying to me all that time?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I am gullible.
Because he's not an All-Star. Like, no disrespect to George Hill, but he's not an All-Star player. Like, I think guys who are – like, there's only 24, like, pre-injury. And it's – 10 are voted. And so it's such an exclusive club.
No, to be picked, sure. But Giannis didn't sound excited on February 10th to go to Salt Lake. If you read between the lines and read his face and everything.
I mean, I think there's an element of, you know, like
it's a prestigious
we got to go.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, I guess if you were to give them the option of like you can be picked as an All-Star, but you don't have to play. Maybe a guy like Giannis or LeBron. But Kevin Durant, like, literally wants to come back from his MCL early so he can play in the game.
All-Star game.
So, but he's a hooper. He's like a he's built that way. So I don't know. I feel like the NBA, like, they really – it matters to them to be an All-Star. And I don't think the you know, I think baseball is the same way. If you're a longtime baseball guy, you're like, I'd rather not go.
Yeah. I mean, they're all very different animals. The NFL season, you're beat up by the end of the year. You don't want to go to the Pro Bowl because, you know, no one watches it anyway. And it's just like you've 16 games, your body is shutting down. It's also the end of the season and you're kind of moved on. In baseball, you have so little time off. It's a massive, you know, 6 month season. And you're going to play for what, two at bats? If you're a hitter, if you're a pitcher, you might get an inning. Like, what is it worth it to lose your few off days? Basketball, though, like, you can really impact the game. You're really like playing on the playground with some of the best and brightest in the NBA.
I think they like that.
Yeah.
I think the idea of it in the moment is like, oh, I got to go to wherever. Like the Bucks, for instance, play in Chicago. Giannis and Drew are going to have, and Thanasis are going to have to get on a private plane Friday morning and fly to Salt Lake City. And, you know, and stay at the Ritz or whatever it is.
Right.
I think that idea is like, oh. But then when they're there and part of it, like, you can't deny that they're not having a great time.
Oh, no, they look like they're having a great time.
Because it's a show. It's who can do this and that. Yeah. And the whole time, this is what the problem I had with those years that they would do the wrestling in the hallway before the. And I'm like, if you boys don't knock it off, you're going to ruin the whole season. And then this and that. This is probably me aging myself and all this stuff. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't even want anybody to, you know, get a blister. I don't want anything. So, you know, to see 172 point to 154 point all-star something, it has no appeal to me. I like to see who's performing there as far as artists and stuff, but I don't need some.
I also think it's the genius of the Elam ending. You get the high flying spectacles. No one's playing defense. We're just going to throw alley-oops to each other for a while, and then you get the highest level basketball you might see all year because now they're fighting for those last points to try and finish the deal. So I do enjoy that quite a bit more. I've enjoyed the last couple All-Star games a lot more than previous ones where it's just a dunkathon, which, you know, you watch on Saturday night with people trying to stage it. So, like, I don't know why I would need to see it again.
See, I would be into it if it was like Marjon Beauchamp, if it was all the next generation people, I would be into that, the people that you may not see regularly. But
right.
I don't know.
All right, let's close it down with one of our special features.
Oh,
don't worry, Lori. Okay. This will be an easy one. This one's In the Paint, which is our sort of look at all things visual. So that's where we're going this week, In the Paint.
Right up in here, we'll make a happy little cloud. Use just the corner of the brush. This is where you can make all kinds of little shapes and little fluffy things.
We're talking about Super Bowl commercials because, as we record this, Super Bowl was last night. We saw Rihanna. We saw the Chiefs win a pretty thrilling game, especially if you love pass interference penalties. And then we saw some commercials. Giannis making his Super Bowl commercial debut. He's in a commercial for Google Pixel 7, the phone. Apparently, he's an Android guy. Wouldn't be my choice. But they emphasized the ability of the software to like cut things that you don't want in a photo out of your photos. So like you can make even better memories, etc., because you can cut out the rando in the background and things like that. So Giannis cleverly taking himself out of a photo of Jaylen Brown dunking on him in the Eastern Conference semifinals. At least I think that was the Eastern Conference semifinals. I think it had to have been. And he's playfully taking himself out so it's not a posterized situation. So Giannis, I actually have a story at jsonline.com, all of the various Wisconsin-themed or Wisconsin-centric commercials over the years. You can also find Hannah Kirby's story about this particular ad, but I'm just using that as a springboard to talk more about Super Bowl commercials. Did you guys have a favorite? And if not a commercial, was there a moment from the Super Bowl coverage on Sunday night that particularly stood out to you? Lori, I think I'll start with you. What do you think?
Darn. Okay. Does Giannis have an Android? I'm looking at his most recent press conference where he was looking at his phone to see if it was his son calling him and texting him. Does he have an Android?
I believe he does walk around with a phone that he does do the commercial for.
Ah, okay.
Oh, one that was good.
But I don't know if that's his only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, like he recently said nice things about Culver's instead of Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Chick-fil-A is a Bucks sponsor, so like he's, you know, he's willing to bend the rules a little bit, which I appreciate. Anyway, did you have another commercial that jumped out at you or not so much?
You don't watch
the commercials?
I did watch them all, but I was clean. I was working on Bucks stuff.
The commercials weren't very good. They were not very good.
No, it didn't seem like there was any riveting. The Tubi one, I think, got everybody. Like, I know in the house I was at, the Tubi commercial got everybody.
I definitely yelled at my son, what are you doing? Stop messing with the remote. Oh, wait.
Oh, that was a commercial?
Yes.
Oh, I was so ticked off.
So there you go.
That was really a commercial? Oh, man, don't.
I do love the fake
so
out
that
there.
That was Lori's favorite.
She did like that one. The Tubi commercial, we'll write her down for that.
I'm
loved
trying not to cuss on
Sarah McLachlan.
I think that one was great.
Sarah McLachlan reprising her role as the dog lady who sings Angel, the sad soundtrack to a commercial about dogs that are up for adoption and have been abused. That was very funny. I thought that was fun of her to laugh at herself. That's a wolf.
USA Today is doing this whole thing about ad meter too. Have you voted on all that?
No, I have in the past. I don't know about this particular one, but similar things, your favorite ad, things like that. I just didn't feel them this year. It just wasn't doing it for me. Mm. I liked Rihanna, but the ads were just me.
My favorite part of Rihanna's set was not Rihanna's set. It was after she was done. Someone in the party comes in and just hollers, "What a snub! No Disturbia!"
Oh my gosh!
And then proceeded to put Disturbia on in the house.
That's perfect.
In between, so that was Rihanna. She's got a catalog.
It's a fair question. 13 songs in 12 minutes. No Disturbia is an upset, but that is her catalog.
Yeah, I wonder if people lost or made money on that not being part of her. Part of the set, but
maybe.
I'm sure. I mean, with all the gambling that's going on.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was a solid halftime show.
I did too. Anybody who put money on better have my money as the leading song. They deserve the money they got because that was a shocker. That was a surprise.
Can you not say that word here? I always thought we could say those words.
Well, we probably can, but you know, it's a point forward family podcast, that sort of thing. Jim, will you cover a Bucks game suspended from the ceiling on a platform? Would you be willing to do that if offered? Yeah.
No.
Looks like a good time. No. Great view. All right, guys. Any last thoughts? We're done here, right? Anything else about the Bucks that we need to discuss?
We have to see you next week, JR.
So. You will not, unfortunately. I will not be here next week. I am going on vacation, so the All-Star Game wrap-up, I believe Jim is handling. Maybe you and he can put your heads together. No JR next week, but you guys will all survive. I'll be back shortly thereafter.
Yeah, no, it's a heck of a end to the, I guess, first half, quote-unquote, of the Bucks season, regardless of what happens against Boston and Chicago. I mean, they've definitely found a stride in the last couple weeks.
Bucks' franchise record for consecutive victories is 20. Have a whole rundown of the longest streaks. They haven't. They did, of course, a couple years ago, 18-19 season. They got up to 18, threatening that 20-game winning streak. But if they get up to 12, that's really heady stuff. That's like five or six best streaks in franchise history. So we'll see if they are able to do that before the All-Star break. Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast. Hope you enjoyed the Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find us at jsonline.com. Find the podcast in all the usual places. Let us know what you think. You can find us all on Twitter pretty easily. I'm at JR Radcliffe. She's at Lori Nickel. He's at Jim Ozarski. Super easy. Just find us. Is it Lori Nickel, right? Or is it Lori Nickel MJS? You don't even remember,
what?
Do you?
Oh, Twitter. No, Nickel. Just Nick.
Just Lori Nickel.
Just the
Perfect. We make it very easy for you guys. We have our names and nothing else in our Twitter handles. So find us there. Let us know what you think, and we will talk to you guys again soon. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.